This camp is an unusual place. It's a very special place simply because God has set His presence on these grounds. And many of our people who came and have said to me, when they step on these grounds, they feel God is here. And others have said, it's like a heaven on earth. And I just want you to know that it's something that we need to treasure and appreciate and be grateful for, because there are so many things in our lives that we just take it for granted. And until you travel, you go abroad, and then you begin to appreciate what we have here in America, what God has given us. And certainly the presence of God is just everything. It's just everything. And we, my wife, my family, our children literally grew up here in Pilgrim Camp when we used to live in New York. And even when we moved to Maryland, we would send them up here every summer to be campers. And later on, as they grew up and they were able to work on staff. And so this camp has been such a blessing to us as a family and to our church, the church back in Maryland. Many of our people from the church there have been here, and they've been blessed. And I personally have received much help during my visit here. We used to come every year. And then after we moved to Texas, kind of far away, we were not being able to come. But and somehow, starting last year, God led us back to camp. Not just myself, my wife, but the Chinese people whom that I have been privileged to minister here at the home and abroad as I traveled. Somehow they get the light. They got some of the light of this inner life, this walking with God and living in His presence and having constant communion with God. And this was the life that I saw. Speaking of the founder of this camp and this church, and Mr. Hans Waldwogel, it was interesting looking back. This was 45 years ago that he was coming to Taiwan for a crusade, and that they needed an interpreter. And it was through Dr. and Mrs. Dell, the English missionaries to Taiwan, that we knew, and that we were attending the same church, that I got to know Pearl Young. And Sister Pearl asked me if I would be willing to interpret for a pastor from New York. At that time, I had no idea, no who he was. And I simply said, well, if it's God's will, I will do it. So that's war. And this was as a time we were just moving. We're just making a move from Taiwan to Hong Kong. And then several months later, I got a letter from my sister Pearl saying that they had arranged meetings, you know, and the dates, that they made all certain dates. And these were the dates when our daughter, our fourth daughter, was due. And Sister Chow was pregnant, and she was due in 2 weeks. And as I looked at that schedule, that it was about the time when Sister Chow was going to have a baby, and I didn't want to leave to go to Taiwan when she was having a baby. So we started praying. We prayed that the baby would come before the meeting, before the crusade. And we specifically prayed for that. You know, I remember the lady who was working for us at our home, and she just laughed when she heard the way we prayed. It was like, God, God, cause the baby to be born before. And sure enough, he answered the prayer. The baby, Susanna, she arrived 3 days before the meeting was to start. So on the third day, when she was discharged from the hospital, I brought her home and just left her there. And I picked up my packed suitcase, and off I went to the airport and catch an airplane. And so when I arrived there, Uncle Hans, we all later learned to love him and call him Uncle Hans, and you know, and he said to me, he said, I'm glad you are here. It's a confirmation for me too. Then I started interpreting for him in the conference there. This was the first, what I call really Holy Ghost meeting that I had been exposed to. And then I came to know Uncle Hans as what I began to understand a Holy Ghost minister. He just ministered, he walked with God, he ministered in the Holy Spirit, and the whole meeting was filled, you know, with the Spirit of God. And then the Spirit of joy was poured down. The Spirit of gladness was poured on, and everybody started laughing. You know. Even Sister Pearl Young, you know, if you knew her, and she was a very reserved person, but she started laughing, and everybody started laughing. And I was laughing so hard that my stomach began to hurt. You know, I said, "Oh God, that's enough." He gave us a real good dose of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And another thing that God had done, it was very unusual, is that prior to the trip, maybe 6 or 8 months prior to my going to Taiwan, I was offered an airplane ticket at a great discount. And so I said, well, at that time I didn't know that I was going to Taiwan to interpret for Uncle Hans. So I bought the ticket because it was so cheap, and I thought that I was going to use it within a year. It would be good for a year, you know. And little did I know that that was the airplane ticket that I bought to go to Taiwan to just interpret for Uncle Hans. Now, this was the beginning of my entry into the fellowship. I had no idea when I went to interpret for him, but God had a plan for me, apparently. Mm. And I was with him for 2 weeks, and I was just so blessed being with him and watching him and interpreting for him. And every night I would take him back to the hotel. I remember the first night or the second night that I was interpreting, when I was interpreting for him, and everything, every single word he said just struck my, there's this inner chord, you know. I just felt that like here is someone that just spring out, and what I was unable to express, but I had it, and I wasn't able to express it, and so I began preaching also. I was, you know, doing like this, and so when we left the meeting, he said to me, he said, "Brother Chow, we both were preaching," he says. Now, it was the beginning. What impact that he left on me that has lasted even to this date, you know, is this is this walk with God, just focusing on Jesus and being filled with the Holy Ghost and led by the Holy Ghost. And it is not by power nor by strength, but by the Spirit of the Lord of hosts. And also it confirmed or it reaffirmed the light that God put in my soul, that this is the way. So I sort of, and then I began to have fellowship, and I was looking forward. As I knew that I was coming to America, I was being assigned by a leading newspaper in Taiwan to be its foreign correspondent in New York, in Washington, and I was looking very much forward to seeing Uncle Hans again. But shortly before I left Taiwan, I received the word that he had gone to be with the Lord. But I decided to go to New York anyway, to visit his church. And there, of course, I met Brother Edwin. He very kindly took me into his home, and we sat down and had dinner and talked about a lot of things, my experience in Taiwan. So then, it was the beginning of an enriched fellowship, a profitable friendship that began, and ever since then. And then some years later, we started to work in Maryland. And naturally, our church was, from the very beginning, was a part of the Ridgewood Fellowship. And so throughout the years, and I have received much help from the fellowship. And after we started the church, less than 10 years, and then I started traveling without knowing that I was to travel. Mm-hmm. I used to go to Brother Edwin and to talk with him and to seek his counsel and to get his confirmation that I was doing the right thing, because I was already pastoring the church, but I knew that my ministry was going through a transition. So I asked the church to start praying for a new pastor, and then they did. But it took several years, and until the present pastor, Pastor Yu, got a call from God, and he stepped out. He resigned from his very well-paid senior position in a company and took over the church. And I invited Brother Edwin and a few other ministers to come for the ordination. And then after that, and then I felt free to leave the church and to start traveling. And it's been 4 years now since I've been going to China, and also a number of other countries in Southeast Asia. And these gathering here of the Chinese, many of them are pastors, were the results of our travels and to various places. And I believe that God has a purpose in bringing these people here to Pilgrim Camp. We have yet to see that purpose and to unfold and to be fulfilled. These are the people, the pastors who have oversight. Some of them have oversight over many, many house churches in China. And so they, when they go back, they were blessed here. When they go back, and they can influence many, many other pastors and their churches. So I believe God has begun a good work with these people by bringing them to Pilgrim Camp. And yes, he will continue. We will see it as the Lord leads. Now, this morning, as Brother Eddie was sharing that Isaiah 55, which also happens to be my favorite chapter. In fact, it was given to me as what I might call the founding charter for our church in Maryland. We had been in the States for 10 years, waiting for a clear indication as to whether we were to start a church or not. And during the years in the 70s that we lived in New York for 2 or 3 years, I recall that Brother Edmund had come to me and let me know that if I were to start a work in New York, then I would be welcome to use the church, the lower auditorium. And he sat there on 2 or 3 occasions. But as I looked to the Lord, I didn't have the light. So I didn't know what to do, just stay put. At the same time, I kept attending Ridgewood and other churches, associated churches in New York. And I kept coming to the Monday morning worship. All the ministers would gather there in the faith home. And so that went on for almost 2 years. And that was, when I looked back, it was a period of preparations for me. I had no idea whatsoever that one day that I was going to be traveling overseas to various countries. But the Lord knew, and He had a plan for my life, and He was preparing me for these ministries. And the I was especially grateful for the prayers that were prayed over me, especially by Brother Edwin and Brother Gordon Gardner. And they prayed over me a good number of times, and certainly appreciated, without knowing that I needed those prayers. I remember two things that they prayed over me again and again. One is that I would have a greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And the other thing is that that God would give me discernment so that I would know what is of God and what is not of God. And so looking back, and I truly needed those prayers. And of course, the Lord knew, and the Lord caused them to pray those prayers for me, looking back, and I'm still so grateful for the times that I spent in New York, and for the fact that I was received as one of the ministers, and I had freedom. I was given the freedom, and sometimes I was called on to fill in with some minister who was away. So all those years had been a preparation for me, a real help for me. Without those times, I probably would not have had the ministry that God has given me today. Now, speaking of chapter 55, Isaiah, we might look it up again, just a few verses. A few verses here. When I say this was given to me as the founding charter, if you will, or the guidelines, before we started the work in Maryland, I'm not going to take, you know, too much time, but maybe just the few verses in the beginning. And this has come, I'm reading from the New International Version. Usually when I speak in Chinese. Today I switched to English, and I hope that I will be able to express, you know, what the Lord has laid on my heart. 55 says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost." It's a call to those who are thirsty. Jesus said, "Blessed are the thirst and hunger who do after righteousness." Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty. Of course, here's a call to come to the waters. And God said He is the fountain of living waters. And here He's also referring to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, of course, issued the same call as we read in chapter 7, John, Gospel John, where He said, on the last day, in the greatest day of the Jewish festival, He said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to Me and drink." And as the Scripture, "He that believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, that rivers of living water," and there He says, in this verse, He says, "waters of rivers of living water shall flow from within him." And then John goes on to explain that this Jesus meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. At that time, the Holy Spirit had not yet come because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Those who believed in Jesus were to receive the Holy Spirit. And when John the Baptist first came out, and he said also that, "I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after Me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then the Lord himself said that before he ascended back to heaven, and he said in Acts 1:5, he says, John baptized with water. In a few days, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I look at myself, and I had been a Christian for 17 years already, and I did not know anything about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And no wonder that I came to a point where, you know, I gave all my time to the church. I did all sorts of church works in the church, and I was, there came to a point where I felt this dryness in me. I felt this weariness, and I wasn't satisfied. There wasn't this joy and peace in my heart, and then I began to wonder, what is wrong with me? What is it that is lacking in me? And then I began to search, and I began to pray. And at that time, I didn't know that the Lord was drawing me. The Lord put a thirst and hunger in me, so that I started searching. And a few years later, my wife and I decided to go visit a church that we heard much about it, that they were the Holy Spirit, you know, signs and wonders and speaking in tongues and things of that sort. So out of curiosity, we decided to visit there. And it was on that night that both of us received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what thrilled me was not the fact that I began to speak in other tongues. I believe I spoke in tongues for half an hour, and I just kept talking. It's a language I never spoke in. And Sister Chow was the first. She started speaking in tongues. And then I began to feel that God was doing something, you know, for us. So what thrilled me the most, after I finished talking in tongues, and then they asked me to pray, I think over the food or something, so I began to pray. And as I prayed, my tears just started, you know, streaming down, and there I dedicate my life and everything I had, everything I could think of. There I dedicate to Jesus, because I saw in my spirit that Jesus standing before me, and it was made so real that I didn't even have to open my eyes to see that it was Jesus. I knew it was Jesus. And after that, my life across changed, my value system was changed, my church service was changed, and everything changed because of Jesus. And now I began to know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is really means Jesus coming to live in my heart. And then I started a living relationship with Christ. And I began to understand what the Apostle Paul said, that it is no longer I that I live, but Christ lives in me. And I recall 4 or 5 years ago, as I was seeking the Lord, as I was asking the Lord, why? What's wrong with me? What is it that I was lacking? And at the end of one day, I remember I took off from work and I stayed in my study. At the end of the day, the Lord gave me this verse. I just quoted Galatians 2:20, that I've been crucified with Christ, It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Mm. The life that I live now, I live for the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But I did not understand it. I was given this verse, I didn't understand it. And it wasn't until I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I began to see, oh Jesus, he is alive and he's alive within me. And gradually I had to learn that it's no longer I. I can no longer depend on myself. It is Christ who lives in me. And this reality has been brought about by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I began to live this life, and of course I began to preach and to teach, and in China, wherever I go, and I just tell people that Christ is alive and he is alive in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then how do we begin? We begin with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not enough just to receive the water baptism. As I have been saying, as I travel around, I said, every Christian needs to receive two baptisms, if you will. Water baptism and the Spirit baptism. And I look at myself, and for the first 17 years of my Christian life, I had been a Christian for 63 years now, or 65 years. But for the first 17 years, when I knew nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and as I said, I just went on and a nominal Christian, or doing things just, you know, along with everybody else is doing this, and I just went along, and I thought I was a Christian, I thought I was doing very well, but I wasn't happy, and I didn't have the joy and peace, and I hardly knew anything about the presence of God with me, the Christ living within me, until I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now here is a call, apparently. Come, come, all you who are thirsty. Come. But we have to have a thirst to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Spirit of Christ, with the risen Christ. When I say Christ lives in us, the Holy Ghost is in us. By the Holy Ghost, Christ dwells within us. And it's real. When John teaches about the anointing that is in us, and as we read in 1 John chapter 2, he says this anointing is real. It's not counterfeit. We have to have this real anointing within us, which is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of Jesus. Now, as we read on, he says, come to the waters. Jesus said to this woman, this Samaritan woman, by the well, he says, the water that you drink, this water from the well, you shall be thirst again. But the water that I give to you, you drink, and you shall never thirst again. Of course, Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit, or to God himself as the fountain of living waters. Come to the waters. Come and receive your portion. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. And it's interesting here. You who have no money. with no joy, with no peace, with no the presence of God. We have nothing. We're poor. So come. You don't have to have money. And you can come and buy and eat. Just take it by faith. I found out that the easiest way to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is simply by faith. Just believe. This is His word. Jesus said that, let him who is thirsty come and drink. And he, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, shall flow rivers of living water from within him, or from the most inner being of him. And it's a promise. The Holy Spirit is described as the promise of the Father. Before Jesus went back to heaven, he told the disciples not to leave Jerusalem, and not to leave just until you receive the promise of the Father, which I have spoken to you about. Jesus taught them a lot about the Holy Spirit. And it's in the Gospel of John that has recorded the most of it. And we find them in these three chapters, in John 14, 15, and 16. And interestingly enough, in the middle of these three chapters, in between, is chapter 15, where it talks about abiding in the Lord, and that He abides in us. It is only when we have learned to abide in Him that He abides in us that can we bear fruit. And He said, not little fruit, but much fruit. There, in chapter 14, we read, it says that, maybe we should look it up, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 16, beginning with verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor. This word has been rendered in the English versions of the Bible as Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Strengthener, Encourager. It has all these implications there, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. The first thing that the Holy Spirit brings to us is the everlasting presence of God. Forever He will be present with us. 17, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. There are still many churches, and traditional churches, they still cannot accept the Holy Spirit. Especially in Dallas, where we have come from, it's a very conservative environment. The churches are not very few, if you find, that are open, you know, to the Holy Spirit. And the pastors of the churches there, I know those of the Chinese churches, and all of them have graduated from the Dallas Theological Seminary, which is a very conservative seminary. So they're very reserved. And here Jesus tells us why. It's because they don't see Him, neither do they know Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you, or is in you. We know Him because He's in us, and He's with us all the time. And we read on the 20th, 18th, excuse me. I will not leave you as orphans. Now, notice here, although Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, notice this personal, first person. Now he says, I several times he mentioned I while he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And is in the New Testament is also called the Spirit of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul tells us that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. We must have the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Notice this I. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. When he comes in the Holy Spirit, he will live in us. And you will also live in me. Now, as we go on to chapter 15, we will know what Jesus is saying here. And abide in me, live in me, and I live in you. And we read on, verse 20 is, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. On that day, on the day, first the day of Pentecost, and then on the day we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we will know that Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in him. And now that we have the Holy Spirit, that he is in us and that we are in him, this wonderful union, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, really brings about this wonderful union between man and God. It's not just something, you know, we can take it, you know, or we just leave it. It's a must. We must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We must have Christ within us. We must learn to walk in him. And it is only when we are in him that we can live a true Christian life. And that's why he has given us the Holy Spirit. Now here is an invitation in Isaiah 55, as we heard this morning, Brother Eddie referred to. Come, here's an invitation, come. Especially, you know, in these last days, and God is pouring out his Spirit on all people. And one of the most striking things about the church in China, or the people that I minister to, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere we go, God was pouring out his Holy Spirit. And this probably was in response to the thirst and the hunger that the Christians in China has displayed. I was most impressed with the passion that the Christians in China have for Jesus. The passion, that burning love for Jesus, that insatiable hunger for the Word of God, for the Spirit of God. It seems that they would never have enough. You could just go on and preaching and teaching, and they wanted, they just take it in. They just drank and they just drank. And this is what God is doing in China now. And these people, 120 of them, and it wasn't easy for them to come all the way from China, from Taiwan, from Singapore, Malaysia, and to Pilgrim Camp. You know, it's still, there's another 5-hour trip from New York. Even if they fly to New York City, they still have to take the bus 5 hours to come to Pilgrim Camp. And it just showed their hunger, their thirst for the Lord, for his word. And when they come here, and they've been here in a week, and they start telling me it's just a sore, you know, they feel that they are fat, and they're satisfied, and they wanted to come back again. And just the other day, and as I was seeing them off, the first group of people who were leaving, and five of them, they said, they put up their hands, and said, "Pastor, we want to register so that we can come back next year. We want to register now before we leave." I remember Sister Pearl Young, how she got the baptism. As she related the story herself, that when she went to China as a missionary with the China Inland Mission, she met one of Watchman Nee's associate ministers, co-workers, an English lady by the name of Fischbacher. I remember the name because we knew her when we lived in Hong Kong. And Sister Fischbacher asked Pearl Young, said, "Did you ever pray for thirst after righteousness for Jesus?" And she thought it was strange, the question. She's been a missionary for many years, and now here's this question asked her. And she, but Sister Pearl was a very simple, she wanted the Lord. She was very obedient. That's what's precious about Pearl Young, is that she had this simple faith, and she had this absolute obedience to the Lord. So she started praying for thirst, a hunger after the Lord. And that's where he began to seek a baptism. And the Lord in time brought her to New York to graduate, and there she got the baptism. And then God sent her to Taiwan, and she simply followed the Lord and led by the Holy Spirit, and step by step, and lo and behold, in less than 10 years, God just used her, and God poured out His Spirit. And I, as I remember, you know, these young people from various universities and churches, they were the youth leaders, and they all kind of drawn to this place where Sister Pearl was living, called Gongguan in Taipei. And many of them gave up their opportunities of going overseas, coming to America, and others quit their jobs, and they went into the full-time ministry. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit brought about. It today, and I can say, there is so much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I received the baptism 45 years ago, and I'm still discovering it. I'm still, especially in my ministry, as I see, it's not me. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the anointing. I don't know if I can ever have a ministry without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He does it all. I'm just there and learning to obey, and I've learned. I thank God for prayers that were prayed for me, that I would have a greater sensitivity to the Spirit and the discernment and those things that I needed, you know, in my ministry. But we can come. Here's an invitation. And we can come to the waters, the fountain of living waters. Once we have the Spirit within us, or Christ living within, and we shall not lack anything. Like David said, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want anything, everything that we can find, you know, in Jesus Christ. And over the years, and I have learned to appreciate, you know, this verse, that Christ is all and in all. Even though I have aged and I have my travels more and more, I'm traveling more, and with Sister Chow, but it seems that the ministry has become easier and lighter, just as Jesus said, my burden is light and my yoke is easy, because it's Him who is doing it. He's leading, He's working in the hearts. And then I remembered how Uncle Hans ministered in the Holy Ghost. And after I left him in Taiwan, I got the feeling that he had come just for me. You know, there were many others who were in the services, but I was the one who got the most help from his ministry. And as years went by, it just proved that indeed. And God's ways are not our ways. Indeed, His thoughts are not our thoughts. And I had thought that, I was just going to Taiwan and just interpreter for this American pastor from New York, and that was all. That would be it. No, that was the beginning of God unfolding His plan for my life. And it's just wonderful. It's just been so wonderful. And then, of course, over the years, and I have come to appreciate Jesus as the bright morning star, and He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys, and my beloved is above all. He's above all. He's altogether lovely. And this was the message that, you know, we spoke during the past week of here. And one lady who came and sat there in the back, and for the first few days, and he had this gloomy face, and she never smiled. But when she left this morning, she was smiling. I saw the big smile on her face. And she told me, she said, I never liked the pastors, no. But I want to take a picture with you, she says. She was so happy, you know. She said that she felt released, you know, free. She began to sense that joy, the peace. And she began to understand a little bit about the presence of God. And I was so glad to hear. Just one lady, and there are others who have similar stories. So come, brothers and sisters, and those of you who might not have had the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, come, receive it. Just drink. It's simply, just take it by faith. You don't have to bring anything. It's okay, no money. Or you don't have to have anything. Just a desire, a thirst. They say, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to know more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk with you. I want to live in your presence. I want you to live in me and to live out your life within me. And I believe God will answer that prayer. Hallelujah. Now, many of you that I don't know, and there's some new people here, and I don't know if you know, what the Lord has done for you, you know. But if you are ready, if you feel like, you know, you're thirsty and you want the baptism, Holy Spirit, I believe God is ready. He's ready for you tonight. Are you ready? I remember this Delta Airline, this ad on the radio. Delta is ready whenever you are. God is ready whenever you are. Are you ready? If so, you get up and then let's receive right now. If you were to stand up and with me. And by simple faith, oh God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, baptize me with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And John says, it's Jesus who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Fill me now. Fill me now, Lord Jesus. Fill me now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just feel free, relax, and receive it by simple faith. Fill me now. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Oh, rabba 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 shundura golobo shigala bo shigala bo. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.